Chapter 11, Liberation. As pupils of the School of the Rosy Cross follow the course of development proposed by the doctrine of transfiguration, they discover that the process of breaking away from dialectics becomes ever more abstract. That is why the beginning pupil sometimes feels as if the ground were sinking away from under his feet. For at times, he experiences that he is no longer able to pursue the aim put forward by the School of the Rosy Cross and the purpose it has to fulfill in this world. So it is perhaps important to consider from time to time whether your aims and those of the school are sympathetic or antipathetic in relation to each other. If they are sympathetic, then a good result is assured, but if they are not, conflicts will be unavoidable and the difficulties thus caused will generally have a negative outcome. It can be stated with certainty that most pupils have sought the spiritual school on account of an esoteric predisposition. If we assume that your dialectical being is attracted to a spiritual school because of its need for esoteric stimulation, then we can conclude that something in your ordinary state of being is linked to the occult. Occult nourishment and everything relating to it will then be maintaining your natural state of being, and in this way contributing to the cultivation of your personality, and that is precisely what the school does not want. So, if this were the case with you, there would be no question of any sympathetic relationship with the School of the Rosy Cross. It is true that in the past, people spoke of Rosicrucian occultism, but for a long time now it has been apparent that such a thing is quite impossible, at least if one understands by the term Rosy Cross what the servants of the school understand by it. Occultism is a science, and an occult ability is a faculty with which one can explore the hidden side of human nature and of this world. And when is occultism practiced? When one wishes to make a practical investigation of the land on the other side of the veil, or to scrutinize the finer and more subtle aspects of the personality. The true occultist is someone who uses his knowledge to extend his normal, natural radius of action. His aim is to try to step out of his body, to become clairvoyant or clairaudient, and to prolong his life here in matter so that he can sojourn in all spheres and maintain himself as an occultist. However, you will understand that occultism has always been and will always be a science of this nature, because the results of this science are confined to the framework of dialectics. The true Rosy Cross does not bring you occult science of any sort. Neither does it bring you spiritual science, as occultism is sometimes called. Nor does it present you with modern psychology. The Rosy Cross presents a science that has no connection whatsoever with dialectical nature. It speaks of a world and a reality that cannot in any way be explained by this nature and cannot take shape in it. Thus, it is quite impossible to make a connection with the science practiced by the Rosy Cross via any predisposition of this nature. The world of which the Rosy Cross speaks is not at all hidden, and the reality of which it testifies is not in the least supernatural. The world and the reality of which the spiritual school testifies lie entirely outside dialectical nature, and since all of us without exception are of this nature, it is impossible for us to exercise or mysticize our way into this new world or this new reality. Within the framework of dialectical nature, occult science may well be useful and, as such, the material talents you possibly possess in the way of spiritual vision and soul riches may well be worthy of admiration, but your ordinary Christian disposition will nevertheless lead you only to the God of this world. The spiritual school of the Rosy Cross seeks to guide you to the right understanding of all this. The spiritual school practices not occult science, but the science of transfiguration, the science of rebirth. Dialectical human beings live in and belong to a nature that consists of two spheres. Between these two spheres there hangs a veil. That is why we speak of this side and yonder side. Between the two spheres there is a chasm, a cleft, and in between stands death. As long as we dwell here in the material sphere, the sphere on yonder side is hidden from us, as a result of our structural condition in the material sphere. By means of occult science, one can obtain knowledge of this temporarily hidden side of nature and become accustomed to it, while still remaining in the material world. but the two main occult methods of cultivation of the personality and splitting of the personality will not give you any knowledge of the world of which the Rosy Cross testifies, nor will they give you any connection with it as regards your body, your soul, or your consciousness, no matter how refined your organic structure may be. So, since neither soul, consciousness, nor body are capable of participating in the other realm, even if they have been subjected to the highest culture, it is clear that the other realm does not need to be hidden, and that is why it is not. Do you see the tragedy of the dialectical human being? To know of the reality of a liberating world and a liberating state of being, and yet to be unable to participate in it, because one's consciousness, soul, and body belong to another nature. Only one conclusion can be drawn. Occultism cannot help, so there is only one solution: the dissolution of the personality, as regards matter, the soul, and the I consciousness. As the Gospel says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The Rosy Cross confronts you with a process of mortification, a process of dying of the threefold self that has its seat in your body, soul, and consciousness. Naturally, this does not sound attractive to dialectical ears, but if you still seek the liberating life and wish to participate in it, you will have to wade right through the pool of your dialectical state before you reach your Golgotha, for the foundation of your existence in this nature will have to be taken away from you. To see the right way through all this, you will need to know that the head sanctuary, heart sanctuary, and pelvic sanctuary each contain 7 passages and 7 portals. All these 21 passages lead to one and the same central point, namely the focus of your natural consciousness, your I being. This I being, reached via the 3x7 passages of your personality, is your threefold ego. These 3x7 portals or passages are also known as the 7 cerebral cavities, the 7 chambers of the heart, and the 7 cavities of the solar plexus. They all possess a certain vibration, a certain vitality which emanates from the I being, the threefold ego, and is maintained by planetary ethers. These 3x7 candelabra burn in the unholy fire of ordinary nature, the fire of dialectics, and you will have to break these 3x7 passages open to the radiation power of Christ, the fire principle of the Holy Spirit. The earthly fire principle has an entirely different color than the fire that emanates from the other realm. So your task in life is to extinguish completely the candelabra of your I being. As soon as you extinguish the candelabrum in the head, and the 7 cavities of the head sanctuary are emptied of the oil of dialectical nature, a wonderful activity will begin within you. This is an activity of wisdom that emanates from the 12 radiation powers of the Heavenly Brotherhood. When this begins, you will have been ignited by the Spirit of God. When you extinguish the candelabrum in the heart, and the 7 chambers of the heart sanctuary are emptied of the oil of dialectical nature, a second wonderful activity will arise, namely, the dissolution of all your earthly ties and fetters. Then you will have perished in Jesus the Lord. When you extinguish the candelabrum in the pelvic sanctuary, an entirely different behavior will begin to speak and testify in your life. Then you will be driven by the Holy Spirit along the way that leads to rebirth. Once the 3 candelabra have been ignited in that other fire, it means the end of the threefold I being, for it is quite unable to exist in the new fire. You will have to discover that the lighting of the new candelabra and the extinguishing of the old is possible in the radiation power of Christ, which radiates unceasingly in rhythmic waves from the heart of the world. You will, of course, have understood that this dying is a death that does not involve the actual death of the body. It is a gradual, systematic process in which the old tabernacle is broken down, stone by stone, and a new temple constructed. This systematic process of dying is thus a victory of eternity in time. If you have understood all this, you will see that the signature of this process of mortification lies in your state of consciousness and not in your behavior or actions, and that this change in the signature of your consciousness will be immediately observable. As we said just now, the consciousness, your I, is maintained by 21 lights, and the eye, in turn, keeps the 21 lights burning. By means of your eye consciousness, the 12 planetary forces that radiate as 12 fires in the firmament of your Lipika are brought into contact with the 21 lights in the personality. These in combination constitute the 33 aspects of the dialectical Freemason. The aim of the mortification process is to bring about the dissolution of the focus of consciousness that lies at the center of the system. This causes the systematic collapse of the 33 aspects and forces of dialectics. And yet life remains. How is that possible? By means of an intermediary. Through Christ, the mediator. The pupil who, after insight, despair, and confusion, decides to undergo this death that leads to life, attracts, because of the genuineness of his intentions, a consciousness intermediary. And by means of this mediation, the original spirit is awakened to life so that eventually it can take the place of the I consciousness. The more the process of mortification progresses in the pupil's dialectical system, the more the radiation power of the Christ hierarchy, in the form of the 12 interplanetary life ethers, is able to take effect in the pupil's life. The original spirit lies hidden as a nucleus, a seed atom, in your microcosm, and since it has polarity with the radiation force of the Christ hierarchy, it will be revivified more and more to the extent to which this living, vibrating, holy etheric force flows into you. And that is how the nucleus of the heavenly consciousness is awakened. This nucleus of consciousness has a magnetic faculty, and once awakened, it attracts more and more new ethers, which form a vibrating cloud with which the new consciousness undertakes its initial journey towards resurrection. This heavenly journey, as it is mystically called, is within reach of you all, if only you are willing to prepare a place for the merciful radiations of Christ. Only in this way can you enter into the mystery of rebirth. The question now is whether you possess sufficient insight to understand. The central issue is rebirth out of water and spirit, as explained by Jesus the Lord, and this requirement is also the compendium of the Rosy Cross. Rebirth out of water is the resurrection of the new man in and through the four holy foods. Rebirth out of the spirit has nothing to do with your eye consciousness, but means that only the original spirit, which is of God, can enter the imperishable kingdom. The spiritual school calls you to this rebirth out of water and spirit. In this way and no other, the old personality of sin is broken up and the new temple is erected in 3 days. Then the words of Paul are fulfilled. If you yield yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey. Romans 6:16. One's former obedience to sin is then replaced by obedience to righteousness and sanctification. When the holy language speaks in this way, it can do so to three states of consciousness. Firstly, to a human being of this nature. Secondly, to a human being in the process of mortification. And thirdly, to a human being who is free. In the first case, you are an ordinary person. In the second, you are a person of this nature who is coming to maturity in Christ, with the Christ radiation as intermediary. In the third case, the true man is ignited in the original spirit, which is of God. He has died in Jesus the Lord, and is now engaged in the process of rebirth through the Holy Spirit,